We have a treat this week. Jesse's going to minister to us. So if you'd please welcome your very own Jesse Cunningham to the pulpit to minister to you.
As always, I'm excited to be doing this. And for those of you that don't know me, hello, I'm Jesse Cunningham. I am not the head pastor. Pastor Jonah is, but I have the privilege of speaking once a month here, and by my watch, we started about 5 to 7 minutes late, so I get that on the end, I think. So, I was watching. So, those of you who have heard me speak, my focus has been Jesus, the life of Jesus, the man of Jesus. Who was he here on this earth? What does he offer to us in this life? Kind of the how to fight back lessons. You know, we talked about, the last time I spoke, we talked about endurance. How Jesus endured the cross, and why did he endure that cross? Because it was the love that was set before him. It was the joy that was set before him, us. He endured the cross because of us. And there's plenty of other instances and things we can learn from in the Bible about Jesus and how we can walk this out. He is our example to walk this life out. He has the answer. The Word has the answer. So I just want to keep driving that home. You're going to hear a lot of common themes. Love. I'm a love guy. Especially when it comes to Jesus. I mean, it was his commandment. Love one another. Because man, when you love one another, the doors open. And it's so awesome to see just what he's done in my life. And I'm sure every one of us have instances that we can look at and say, that was because of the love of Christ. So, what I'm going to get into in this, I'm going to keep with the theme of endurance, but it's going to be endurance through temptation. Looking on and looking at what's going on in the world right now, there are just so many things that are trying to draw people away. Everywhere you look, there's a new idea, there's a new doctrine. There's something that's trying to draw us away from the truth of the Word of God. And we need to be able to fight. We need to be able to know who we are to walk this life out in victory. Because no matter what's going on around us, the world can be crumbling around us, but we can still have love. We can still have peace. We can still have joy. We can still walk this life out in victory. Whether or not it is the end times, why does that scare us? Why does that cause us to draw back in fear? It shouldn't. We know our end. We know who we are. If anything, it should motivate us to keep going forward. And to get the word out even more about the love of Christ. Because, goodness gracious, the world could use the love of Christ right now. Look at what's going on in the streets. Where there's envy and strife, there's every evil work. And that is just so apparent right now. So, I know we've all dealt with temptation, and we all probably are going to continue to deal with it, but how did Jesus deal with it? That's what I want to get across to you today. Temptation takes many shapes, many sizes. It doesn't have to be, you know, lustful, or it doesn't have to be, it can be slothful. It can be not wanting to do anything. It can be wanting to do too much. I mean, you know, overstepping your bounds. And that's why it's so important to be led. To be led by the Spirit. Because when we are led by the Spirit, we are walking in the perfect will and the perfect plan of God. So, James 1, 12 through 15. Blessed, I have all these written down, so get there quick. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt anyone. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Really important phrase there. Drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. So some takeaways out of this portion of Scripture here. Blessed is the man who endures. Right? This life is a fight. Whether you want it to be or not, this life is a fight. It's just the plain, simple fact of it. I wish it wasn't so. I wish we could all just skate by and love each other and not have any problems, but that's just not the way it works. We need to fight. And we're going to find out here Jesus had to fight. Maybe not physically, but is it the physical that we're focused on, or is it the spiritual? And I say to you right now, we better be focusing on the spiritual. With everything that's going on in this world right now, you better be focusing on the spiritual. How do we endure? We talked about it the last time I spoke. We endure through relationship with Jesus. We endure through His love. And when that relationship starts to build, we build maturity. And when we build maturity, we come into unity. You know, it's a pretty cool little cycle. You know, there's been a call to maturity in this church, and I believe this isn't the only place, but we got to grow up. We got to know who we are. We got to know our authority. We got to know the Word. Because you're going to see here in a little bit, that's how Jesus fought. So let no man say, I'm tempted of God, because he does not tempt. God is not trying to make you sin. And this may not be for anybody here, but it may be for somebody else in your life. God is not throwing sin at you and checking off pass or fail. He's good. He is love. He knows no sin. So why would he put it on you? Jesus died for our sins. Grace draws us up out of sin. It is not God. Let's get that out of our heads right now. We serve a loving God who is drawing us closer through relationship. God is love. He is love. We are drawn away by our own lusts. We don't need help to walk in sin. It's just our nature. Now, that walk can lead to interventions, demonic activity, whatever you want to call it. But we're just as capable of stepping across that line on our own. It's our nature. The devil doesn't always have to help us along. I think a lot of times he just sits back and laughs because we do such a good job ourselves. You know I did. I know when I struggled. I don't believe it was demonic. I believe it was in my head. And I had filled myself, my head, with garbage. With, I am not worthy. I am not good enough. That was me saying it because I knew the Word. I had grown up in the church. But that was me. My flesh telling me I'm not good enough. That's why the spirit and the flesh lust against each other. Lust isn't always sexual, so let's move on from that. Lust is just a strong desire for something. Spirit and the flesh are fighting against each other because they're opposites. Spirit is life, the flesh is death. And without Jesus Christ, we walk in that death. So Jesus is our example. John 15:10. Jesus is speaking here, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. A few verses later, what is that commandment? Love one another. You know, I had to get this because I had very little love for anyone else and zero love for myself. If I'm up here, I got to be honest. Because I read the verses when you teach, you're doubly judged. So You're going to get honesty from me up here. But I had to have love. It didn't matter what my intentions were. If I didn't have love to walk this out, I wasn't going to affect anybody. Because I was going to get called out as a scam at some point. Because you can only hide it so long. We got a pretty good example that's going on in the world right now. Somebody who was hiding something. And lo and behold, here it is. If you want to talk about it after, we can. But what was his commandment? It was to love one another. Jesus is our example. Just like Jesus looked to the Father, we look to him. So in any and all things, whether it's temptation, whether it's confusion, whether it whatever, Jesus has the answer. We just need to look sometimes. We got to dig a little bit, you know. We can't just sit there and do nothing, because you'll get nothing. You know, we got to be active. This is an active walk. Jesus wants us walking with him. You know, he's not dragging us along by the toe. We got to get up and move. We got to move. I had to move. You know, we can look around. I said it already, but we can look around and see the effects of no love in our world right now. Imagine if these people heard the true gospel. And now, granted, we know that not all of them would probably accept it, but at least they heard it. And I guarantee there's people in that crowd looking for love. I guarantee there's people in these riots looking for identity. Because true identity comes through Christ. Romans 13:13-14. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in immorality and wickedness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. I love that verse 14 there. Put on Jesus Christ. Let him be a part of you. Just like the clothes you wear, just like your everyday process, let Jesus be part of your everyday. Your everyday routine. Your everything. Let Jesus be a part of that. Let the Spirit be leading you in that, because he wants it. And that's where our knowledge comes from. That's where our wisdom comes from. That's where the love came to me so I could love others and share with others. So Jesus looked to the Father. Let's look to him. He is our example. So what else can we learn through his life? Hebrews 2. We're going to stick in Hebrews here for a little bit. Hebrews 2:17-18. Therefore, in all things, it was necessary for him, Jesus, to be made like his brothers, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest for the things pertaining to God, to make atonement for the sins of the people. For since he himself suffered while being tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Now hop over real quick to chapter 4, Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who was in every sense tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us then come with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. So our takeaways here, we serve a merciful and gracious God, a faithful God. He is. God will not let you down. We attribute all the bad things in our, well, we can, and people have, attribute all the bad things in their lives to God. It's a sad state, it's a sad situation. God is good. We have to beat that into our heads that God is good. God wants the best for us. He wants the best for us. He wants us to succeed. He was tempted like we are, so you're not going to surprise him with what you're going through. He knows. He can help. if you let Him help. He has the answers. He has the way through. But are we blaming Him or accepting His way? He suffered while being tempted. We don't like those words, suffered, but He did. So if He suffered, there's a good chance we can suffer, and there's a good chance that things aren't always easy. It's a good chance that fighting is hard. I don't know if anybody's fought in here. It's not easy. You exert yourself sometimes to the very last where you can't move anymore. And you need to be helped away. Of course, I'm going to use a Marine Corps analogy. But when we trained to exhaustion. It wasn't just, let's go for a quick mile run and you can be fresh when we go hit the field. It was, we are going to crush you here, and then we're going to bring you here and crush you again. And then we're going to bring you here, and even when you think you have nothing left, you're going to get up and you're going to keep on going. You didn't have it. I mean, you had a choice, but you didn't have a choice. Mental fortitude. My last teaching, mental fortitude. We have to be tough. We have to know that even in these hard times, we are being led and we will get through it. God makes a way through. He does not tempt, but He will always make a way through it. Always. How many of us give up at the last step? How many of us are just one more step and there's the victory? But we hold back. We say, that's enough. I can't take it anymore. I heard the analogy, when things get the toughest, you're almost there. Keep going. God is faithful. God is good. Keep going. We can go boldly before the throne. We are joint heirs with Christ. We can go boldly before the throne. We don't have to squabble and crawl and think of ourselves as not worthy. He has the answers. He has the help. He wants to give it to us. Go boldly. Lord, what do I need? Show me. Give me the revelation that I'm looking for. You know? I mean, you could maybe throw a please in there. But I don't know if we have to. God wants you to take it. Jesus wants you to take it. Take what's ours. Take all these gifts of grace, righteousness, love, mercy. Take them. Apply them to your life and walk. Let's turn to Matthew 4. So this is where Jesus had just been baptized. Spirit came down. He's filled. And He immediately goes to the desert. So, Matthew 4, we're just going to start in verse 1. Then Jesus was led up into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And then He was hungry. And the tempter came. The tempter comes when you're at your weakest. Right? There was no need to come on the first day because Jesus had probably eaten and He was feeling good. There was no need. He's tricky, but he can be pretty obvious. And He said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. So immediately He's questioning His identity, right? First thing, if. You're going to see a lot of ifs in this passage. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took Him up into the holy city, set Him on the highest point of the temple, and said to Him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give His angels charge concerning you. And in their hands they will lift you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against the stone. Jesus said to him, "It is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And the devil took him up on the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms and of the world and their grandeur, and said to him, so now you see, he's not questioning his identity anymore. He's moved on from that. "All these things I will give to you if you will just fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get away from me, get away from here, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and immediately the angels came and ministered to him. We must know who we are. Satan will always attack your identity. Always. You're not good enough. Who are you? You think you can accomplish this? Because trust me, I hear it on a regular basis. But I know who I am. I'm a child of God. I have the Spirit of the living God living inside of me. So sorry, you lose. You know? We need to know our identity. How did Jesus combat him? With the Word. Real key there. With the Word. And he wasn't using New Testament. He was using Deuteronomy. I don't know how many of us have ever spoken Deuteronomy over ourselves. But, and I think it's interesting, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I think it's interesting because Jesus could have said anything at that point. He's Jesus. He could have come up with a new doctrine. He could have come up with some splashy thing that the new covenant saints would have to speak against the devil and to fight against temptation. But he used Deuteronomy. I think that's pretty awesome. And the people that say that the Old Testament is dead and we don't have to read it anymore, just read that. I think you're wrong. There's still plenty in the Old Testament that we can learn from, that we can glean from. Jesus used it, so I think we can too. Jesus used his authority over Satan. So he didn't doubt his identity. So if you're not doubting your identity, you know your authority. If you're doubting your identity, what do you got? When the attacks come and you don't know who you are, what do you have to fight back with? You know, and you don't even have to give chapter and verse. Jesus said, "It is written." You know? But you got to have it in your heart, for when those times come, you speak. And that's my biggest thing, and that's I'm still working on it. Because I have plenty of stuff in my head, but I'm a good Midwestern boy. And I speak when I'm spoken to, and, you know, I don't want to cause problems. But I have to speak. There's something about the spoken word. There's power in the spoken word. I can think about it all I want, and I can meditate on it all I want. But unless I speak it, I don't believe I'm releasing the full potential and the full power of that word. Once again, another comfort zone that I have to step out of. A lot of comfort zones I got to step out of. Seems like it never ends. But that's okay. Other interesting points here. So Satan knew the scripture, did he not? But he misquoted the scripture. Right? Lest at any time you dash your foot against the stone. It's not what the scripture says. It says lest you dash your foot against the stone. If you're walking outside the will and purpose and plan of God, you're going to bump into some stones. And you're not going to be picked up. And you're not going to be raised up. Because you've removed yourself from the will of God. Jesus said we don't tempt. We don't tempt. We don't go and just jump off and say, let's see what happens. You know? We need to be led. We need to be led. We need to be led. First John. So I'll try to put this in a little more context here. First John 2:15 through 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Jesus may not have experienced the exact things we're going through. You know, they didn't have technology like we have now. But I believe this scripture is pointing down the avenues or the classifications, per se, of what we fight through every day. The lust of the flesh. Turn those stones to bread. He was hungry. You can't tell me he wasn't hungry after 40 days. Satisfy your desires. Have you ever heard that? You know what? Just do it. It'll feel good. You'll enjoy yourself. Lust of the flesh. You have the power to do it. Just meet your own needs. You know? All these little thoughts and all these... But did God say? He was in communion with the Father. He was face to face with the Father. The Father said no. You wait. You stay hungry. And then Jesus combated him with the word. Lust of the eyes. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if. How many of us bow down or have bowed down in the past for a fleeting glimpse? You know? You can have anything you desire, all the power. I mean, Satan was trying. You know, he was throwing everything he had. But where Adam and Eve failed, Jesus was victorious. You know, because in the beginning it says he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the Spirit. You know, it sounds counterproductive to what I'm speaking here, but I believe that had to happen. He had to be tempted. There wasn't a choice. He had to overcome what man had failed at. So he had to go to the wilderness. He had to be tempted, and he had to overcome, because if he didn't, then he's not God. Or he's no better than man. Yikes. But he is, thank God. Because he's victorious. Lust of the eyes, said that one. Pride of life. Throw yourself off and you'll be taken care of. Prove who you are. Prove your abilities. Step outside your call. You can do this. And I'll be honest, here's the one I hear. You don't need to submit yourself to Pastor Jonah. Pride of life. I could do this on my own. I could go start my own church right now and it would be just fine. I could do this. I've got it. No. No. That's pride. I was called here. I've submitted myself under him and I'm going to walk this out. But I think we can all come up with some examples of that. But everything we go through, I believe, can be qualified here. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. That's why Jesus can say he was tempted in all things. Because there's really no new sins. There's not. They may look a little different, but the root is still the same. You can't tell me they were doing nasty, disgusting things back in the Bible. They were, because they wrote about it. There was some nasty stuff going on. I mean, you're sacrificing your own children. Like, even God said, I didn't see that coming. I mean, even God was appalled by, you know, he's always appalled by sin, but I forget where it is, look it up. Jesus was shocked. You know? So nothing's changed. It may look a little different. We may call it something else. You know, we call ourselves so civilized, but no. We just dress it up. We call it a different name. We give it some scientific name so it sounds like a disease or sounds like a problem. You know, we push a bunch of pills, but the root is still the same. It hasn't changed. Sin hasn't changed. Sin is sin. We got time. Let's go to Genesis. I mentioned Adam and Eve, and you'll get the exact same model here. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. We've all heard it, but I want to connect these here. So hopefully it sticks. So this is the temptation of Eve. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God said, you shall not eat of the tree?" So, once again, coming at the word. Coming at, you know, identity. Has God said? You know, because he was, if she knew who she was, because I don't believe Adam and Eve had full knowledge of everything. I think they were supposed to walk with the Lord and learn and grow. Because she obviously didn't know what, and we'll see, she didn't know what he said or didn't remember what he said. Has God said, you shall not eat of any of the tree? And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit from the trees of the garden, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, or else you shall die." She added, "Touch it." God never said, "Touch it." And right there, there's an open door. There's a crack. Satan knew, oh man, I think I got her. Because she wasn't confident in what the word was. She wasn't confident in what the word of God, or what God had said. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will surely not die." Contradicting the word. "For God knows that on the day you eat of your tree, the eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Pride of life. He's keeping something from you. All you have to do is eat and you'll be just like him. They were already just like him. They were made in his image. Were they not? They were made in his image. Yet, the pride of life. You could have more. You could be more. Just bow down to me. And I'll give you everything you want. Then the serpent said, "You shall surely not die, for God knows that the day you eat of your eyes will be opened, you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw lust of the flesh, she saw it was desirable. It looked good, you know. It's funny. We start focusing on the things we can't have, or shouldn't have, or shouldn't touch. And man, do they start looking really good. Oh, I know I can't have that, but imagine what I could do with that. Oh, I bet you that tastes so good. You know, and we start running this through our minds, and I bet you I should eat this whole carrot cake. I bet. I can do it. I know I can. Like, it may not be good for me, but I can do that. You know, like, that's a silly little example, but when the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit and that it was pleasing to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Same process. Lust of the flesh. I want it. I want it. I don't care if I don't need it. I don't care if it's good for me. I want it. Lust of the eyes. Oh man, look at that. If only I had that, I would be happy. I would be satisfied. pride of life. You can be just like God, even though we're already just like God. Hence, we need to know the Word. We need to know who we are. We need to know our identity. We don't have to prove who we are in Christ. We need to know who we are. Jesus knew who He was, and He overcame the lie with truth. Truth of the Word. It is written. You don't need to improve the Word. I wish it said this, I wish it said that. There's no need to improve the Word. We need to believe the Word and let it work in our lives. It's as simple as that, and it's as hard as that. Believe. Do we believe the truth of the Word? Because truth is truth whether you believe it or not. Truth is truth before you even knew it was truth. Right? Truth will always be truth. No matter what doctrine comes along, no matter how much you believe it's wrong, truth is truth. And I'm here to tell you the Word of God is truth. Whether we fully understand it or not, whether we have complete revelation of it or not, the Word of God is truth. Are you basing your life on the truth of the Word of God? Are you putting your belief in the truth of the Word of God? Because that's what we have. We have the Word and we have the Spirit. The Word's going to help you hear the Spirit. Right? And once again, you don't have to do any of this. You don't. I strongly recommend it. But you don't. You know, like, there's no condemnation here. This is a challenge, though. I'm going to challenge. We can have something better. We can do more. But are we holding ourselves back? It's not God holding us back. He's there waiting to just fill you to overflowing more than you could ever imagine. But are you grasping onto it? Things have been really good for me and my family for the last few years here. I'm content, but I want more. Right? I am pleased. I am happy with the work that God is doing in my life and in my family's life, but I want more because I know there's more. Why stop now? Far, and I think I've said this before, but far too many people won't let the Word get in the way of what they believe. I know we've all heard it. Well, that's just what I believe. I mean, you can point to the verse and say, well, here's what it says. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, then the Word's not going to work for you. Sorry. I love you. I want to help you. But we got to swallow our pride. You know, it's okay to admit that you had some bad teaching along the way. It happens. It happens. I guarantee I've had some bad teaching along the way. I haven't gone back and listened to all my teachings. There's some I'm avoiding. Some I need to revamp maybe. But there's a difference between bad teaching and bad doctrine. Bad teaching is just, we're growing. I need to learn a little more. Bad doctrine has intent. Bad doctrine has intent to pull people away. And if we're not rooted and grounded in the Word, we can run down that bad doctrine really easy. And then our life is fruitless and powerless. Hebrews 4:12, very familiar verse. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. When Jesus spoke the Word to the devil, That ended it. That was the cut. That was the line that separated good from evil. Spirit from flesh. The Word separates it for you. Speak the Word. Know the Word. Let Jesus be your example. Get in. Dig in. Know who He is. Man. We don't need all these prophecies to know that tough times are coming. And in my opinion, spiritual readiness is much more important right now than any kind of physical readiness that we can do. I mean, not to say that God wouldn't speak to you and say, hey, maybe have a little extra food on hand. I'm not saying that He wouldn't do that. But it can't be our focus. We have to know who we are. Because what happens if they take it away? Then we better hope our neighbors heard something that we didn't, or they were being told, because God doesn't speak the same thing to everybody. You know, but spiritually, do we know who we are? Spiritually, do we know what's at our fingertips? Can we look at the loaf of bread and say, no, you're going to feed me for months? You're going to supply for my whole family. You're going to supply for my whole congregation. Because we may not have everything we need. Are we trusting in the things that we supplied for ourselves? Or are we trusting the Word of God and His promises? You know, He provides for the sparrows. How much more are we than the sparrows? The Word is true when Moses wrote it, it was true when Jesus spoke it, and it's still true today. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. That's what we need. Fill yourself with Him, with His goodness. The Word divides truth from lies. It says over in Romans 1:25, they turned the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Look at what's going on right now. Truth is lies. We have a whole group of people trying to tear down a country based on lies. They worship the Creator. You know what? If they worship God, the earth is going to be okay. I mean, we can get all sorts of political if we want to, but the love of God changes your heart. Amen. In any and all circumstances. So, real quick, a few takeaways here. Endure. Don't be drawn away by what the world offers, because it'll take you nowhere. It'll get you nothing. Endure. Fight until the end. Fight until there's victory. Jesus suffered, so it's not always going to be easy. He's our example. He even told the reed, you'll read. They're coming for you. You know? Where are we here? Where are we here? Are we ready to endure? Are we ready to fight? Do we have a little mental fortitude to bring us through no matter how bad it hurts? Jesus understands and relates to what you're going through. Let Him guide you. There's nothing you can tell Him that's shocking Him. And there's nothing that you're going through that can't be solved through the Word. Period. There is an answer. You may not like it. I didn't like a lot of the answers. I didn't. At all. But, was I going to let my pride get in the way, or was I going to walk this life out the way He wanted me to walk it out? Speak the Word. Know the Word. Speak the Word. I don't care if you got to yell. I guarantee Jesus wasn't, get thee behind me, Satan. You know? I just don't think that's how it went. You know, like, I see all these, you know, how everybody depicts Jesus as this kind of frail, just soft-spoken. And I mean, there may have been times, but this guy's turning over tables, making whips, driving people out with whips. Do we need to be polite to the devil?
No.
I don't think he was. I think he may have raised his voice. It's okay. Who cares what the neighbors think? Speak. Yell. I don't care, but speak the word. With a little conviction and with a little authority. Know who you are. And then just know your authority. Because when you know your authority, you can speak. You can. Because it's there. And you see it. You see into the Spirit. You see the power of it. You see the end result. Start seeing some victories in your life. Stop focusing on the struggle and focus on the end, the victory. Because you're close. Don't stop fighting. You're close. That's all I got.
I think that there's been a consistent word going through a lot of what today has been is believe. And there's one more aspect we need to do along this. James 5 verse 14 says, "If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed any sin, he will be forgiven." That's the word. Do we believe the word or not? So I want to make an open invitation. Anybody who's dealing with a sickness or affliction, Jesse and I would be happy to pray for you. As elders in this church, we would be happy to pray for you. We will lay hands on you and anoint you, and you will be healed. So I just want to open that up. The rest of you are free to stay or go as you choose. Have a blessed and wonderful week. You are loved of God, and God has a hope and intent for your future.